Amen. Amen. The message today is entitled, Get on the Roof. Get on the Roof. Now, the world needs Jesus. Amen. I said, the world needs Jesus. Amen. Hey, Jason. Hey, Ms. Yoko. I said, the world needs Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. That's right. The world needs Jesus. So many are lost in sin and hurt and pain. So many are lost in misery and depression and anxiety. So many are lost in the plans of Satan. So many are lost. You may have once been lost, but you were found. I was once lost, but I'm now found. You know, there is a great deception that the Bible talked about that would happen before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see the great deception happening now. Jesus said that they would call good evil and evil good. Jesus said that they would change the signs of the times, that they would, the seasons, I mean, they would change so many different, there would be so much change. In the book of Daniel, as Daniel saw our times, the prophet Daniel said that he saw and he asked the Lord, when will these things come to pass? And the prophet Daniel said, was told that knowledge will greatly increase and many people will go here and there to and fro. And then these scriptures will be unveiled. And so knowledge has greatly increased within the last 150 years compared to the rest of human civilization. Compared to the last 150 years, wow. Up until 150 years ago, they were continually getting around on on a horse, on mules, camels, wherever you were. But here today, we were sending electric robots to Mars. You know, we're going out into space. We're doing all kinds of things. We can talk to people all over the world instantly on our cell phone. Knowledge has greatly increased. And today's generation does not really understand that because back when I was young, about 80 years ago, we did not have cell phones. We did not have all of the technology that we have today. And so I remember when I would come home, and Mom, you remember this, I was a teenager, I'd come home and I'd bust through the door. Hey, Mom, anybody call for me? Yeah, when did they call? 3 hours ago. Okay, and I returned my call 3, 4, 5 hours later. You know, that's just the way it was. I had a pocket full of quarters. Why? Because I had to stop at a telephone payphone and I'd make calls on the road. Anybody remember that? Having to make a phone call in a telephone booth? Today you would be like, ugh, you know what? I ain't touching that, right? I mean, nobody carries change on them either. It's all Venmo and Cash App and it's all this, right? Man, if you didn't have cash on you, you weren't getting anywhere. I mean, that's the way it was. I mean, times have changed. You know, the Bible says that the final Antichrist will cause you to put a mark on your hand or forehead, and that you will be able not to be able to buy, sell, eat, or trade, do anything without the mark of the beast. And what does that translate into today? We understand that that is tied to technology. We understand that slowly but surely we're getting into AI, artificial intelligence. It's so scary that even our senators are trying to pass laws to slow down artificial intelligence. Because the technology is so fast, nobody can keep up with this. I mean, if you knew what is going on with technology around the world, and again, the Bible spoke about this thousands of years ago, that in the end, knowledge will greatly increase. And we see that today. So I want to talk to you, though, that will continue to happen. Wars and epidemics and famines and all these things, violence and corruption and murder, it's going to continue to go and go and happen up until Jesus calls his church into heaven, the rapture of the church. It's going to continue to happen. And so what does that mean for the Christian? We're not surprised. We're not shocked by these things. But we do have a job. And Christian, I'm telling you, every one of you needs to get on the roof. You need to get on the roof. You see, times have changed. In biblical times, throughout all of ancient civilization, when they had their houses, a lot of their life was spent on the roof. You hear that? They would sleep on the roof of their houses because it was so hot. They did not have air conditioning. Their houses were made out of mud and clay and rock. And so a lot of times they would spend the evenings and the nights and the early mornings on the roof of their homes. There was a lot of activity that would go up on the roof of their homes. Today, almost all homes worldwide are closed like ours. There is nothing happening up there where all the activity is on the inside. Times have changed. We've progressed with knowledge and how to shield us from the rain and from the elements of outside. And so a roof protects what's inside the house, your valuables, your goods. And so a roof is not necessarily bad, but times have changed. But I believe that, and sadly the church has changed. The church has strayed away from the true church, the book of Acts, how we were founded on. And their life was spent being on the roof. When Peter, when he prayed to the Lord, he was on the roof and he saw a vision from heaven. The same way with all of the prophets, when they had encounters with God, look them up, Elijah. They were on the roof of the house. You know, there was so much to be found on the roof of the house. And in Jesus's day, there was an incredible story, a true story, by the way, and I want to speak this to you. It says in Luke 5, 17 through 20, it says, one day while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law were sitting nearby, and it seemed that these men showed up from every village in all of Galilee and Judea, as well as from Jerusalem. And the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. And some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat, and they tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up to the roof and took off some tiles. Then they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, young man, your sins are forgiven. Now let's go to Mark 2, 2 through 5. It's another version of the same story from Mark's perspective. That was Luke's, what we just read. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room even outside the door. And while he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. Now, let me tell you this. You will give to what you believe in. You will give to what you believe in. I believe that every Christian belongs on the roof. Because you see, on the roof, sometimes there are so many distractions. There's so much opposition to really get right there with Jesus sometimes, right? Your jobs, raising up families, you know, all trials and tribulations. Sometimes you feel like you're never close enough to Jesus. Sometimes you feel like you just can't not. Does Jesus hear your prayers? Does Jesus know that I'm hurting? And you see, that's kind of sad, because a lot of times we're in a woe to me attitude. And as a Christian, we shouldn't have that kind of an attitude. We should know that God does care, that God does love us, and that God does have a plan for everyone who calls upon his name. And so, you know, I'm from that old school of thought that where, stop crying, you know, grow up in Christ and walk by faith. Stop making excuses. You see, because these men were not the type of men to make up excuses. There were four men. They had a friend who was sick, and apparently he was sick because he had been in a lifestyle of sin. Because Jesus addressed it, your sins are forgiven. So these four men had heard about Jesus. These four men were believers of Jesus, because they knew that if they could take this friend of theirs who was sick to Jesus, that Jesus would do something about it. How many of you have friends in your life? They're suffering from depression, anxiety. They're cutting themselves. They're drinking themselves to death. They're smoking and smoking, living a vile life, perversion. Girls think they're boys. Boys think they're girls. I'm not judging these people, but how many people do you know like that? It's sad. God did not create them to live a life like that. But today we see in society, we see the perversion that's out there, where they're teaching even these drag queen shows to kindergartners in school. It's sad what's going on. They're calling boys girls and girls boys. The Bible says God created male and female. Now, we're not at war with people who live alternative lifestyles, with people who want to be transgenderism. We're not at war with them. If that's what you want to do, then that's what you want to do. But these same people are shoving this down your throats. They're trying to confront you until you have to accept this lifestyle. And that's ridiculous, because that is just, I mean, if that is what you believe, if you want to worship a unicorn, worship a unicorn. If you want to worship Buddha, worship Buddha. If you want to worship Allah, worship Allah. But the Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Jesus Christ says about himself that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come unto the Father. No man can come to heaven, but only through Jesus Christ. Now, either Jesus was a liar, a lunatic, or Jesus was telling the truth. Now, I believe Jesus tells the truth. These men believed in Jesus. You will give to what you believe in. Why don't you add up how much money you spend at the convenience store in a year's time? Is that more than what you give to your home church? Is that more than what you give to missionary work? Is that more than what you give to anything else that's related to the kingdom of God on this earth? You give to what you believe in. In a 24-hour period, how much time do you truly give to prayer? In the morning? In the night? How much time do you give to prayer? If you want to get technical about this, there's 2.4 hours that should be given to the Lord. But let's go greater than that. Take the Lord with you everywhere you go. Always be in prayer. Always walk by faith. Always walk in holiness. Always walk in righteousness. Love purity. Love the holiness of God. And the peace of God will be upon you. Anything apart from that, your life will be chaos. And one day, if you keep living, if you keep walking on the road to hell in this life, one day you'll walk right into hell. Jesus is the way. Who told these men to get on the roof? Who told these men to get on the roof? You see, these men knew that they had a job to do. Christian, you have a job to do today. There are many sick people out there who need to be in the presence of Jesus. You've met Jesus by faith. You've been touched by Jesus by faith. But you see, Christian, your Christianity, it's not about you. Your Christianity is about others. You know, Christian, sometimes your life will be all the Bible that someone else reads. Your life, Christian. And if you claim to be a Christian but live like the devil, woe to you. But if you not just talk the talk, but walk the walk, praise God. There's glory to God. And great is your reward in heaven, Christian. These men believed in Jesus. You're going to give to what you believe in. They said, "Bud, let's go. Jesus is in town." And as they came to the house, they saw it was packed. There was no way to get in. Today, most of the generation would say, "Oh man, we missed our chance. Oh well, let's try again tomorrow." Today is the day of salvation, says the Bible. You are not guaranteed tomorrow. Amen? And so they said, "No, we need to do this today. We need to get this done today. He suffered enough. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Let's get on the roof. Let's get on the roof." Is your faith in Christ radical enough to get on the roof? Get on the roof. So they got on the roof. Look, to get you on the roof, there has to be a desperation for Jesus. And let's just be true about it. Not many of us have a desperation for Jesus. Oh, but when you're laying in the hospital bed or your loved one is sick, then you have a desperation for Jesus. And you know, God is faithful. He'll hear you. He'll heal you. He'll touch you. But then we walk away. Oh, you've been praying for God for this blessing, for this miracle. And when it comes to pass, oh, praise God. But then once you get it, you walk away. There has to consistently be a desperation for Jesus, because anything apart from faith is sin. Is your life about faith? The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. You're justified. Christ said, "I forgive you." You repented of your sins. You're justified before the Lord God Almighty. And you live by faith. Look at that. In Matthew 2, verse 5, these men not just talk the talk, they walk the walk. Look, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." Amen? Your sins are forgiven. He saw their faith. Jesus sees your faith today. Don't think, "Oh, I'm too young. I'm too old." You are accountable for your actions. You're accountable for your sins. You're accountable for your walk with Christ. Now, we need to go after His kingdom like never before, because His kingdom is coming. You see, it's not only what you can bring to Jesus that matters, but it is also what Jesus can bring to you. Yeah, we are called to bring something to Jesus. It's our life. It's our faith and everything. But Jesus is also wanting to bring you something. Peace that surpasses all understanding. The power of God. Did you read earlier what we read in Luke 5? 17, it said, "And the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus." You hear that this morning? The Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. The Lord's healing power is with you, Christian. Greater is He that is in you than he who is in the world. You have power in you. Holy Spirit power. Amen. Everybody's trying the latest diets. Everybody has life coaches. Everybody is seeking after the knowledge of the world. Everybody is watching the Kardashians. Everybody's watching The View. Everybody's watching all these things in the world. And they lead you to nothing but vanity, idolatry, and they lead you to a lonely, sad life. That was exposed in COVID. In COVID, so many people killed themselves because they were isolated and they realized how lonely they were. I heard countless stories all over the world where people were committing suicide during the COVID lockdowns. Why? Because we're not meant to be isolated like that. The Bible says that hell is a lonely place. It's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, and it is for eternity. And the Bible says that God made hell and prepared it for Satan and his fallen angels. Hell was never designed for a human being, never. But when a human being rejects God on this earth, God gives you what you want. You see, it's called free will. Listen, you have a free will, and God is good, and He will always honor your free will. If you lived a life on this earth wanting to have nothing to do with God, with Jesus Christ, when you die, He'll honor your will. He'll give you eternal separation. And there's no other place but hell. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's one thing to just say, "I believe." Even devils say, "I believe." But it's one thing to do. And that is what these men did. Their faith was put into action. They went up on the roof. They dug a hole and they lowered this man down. Look, it is going to take skill. It is going to take strength on your part to walk with Jesus. The Bible says, "Draw near unto me and I shall draw near unto you," saith the Lord. We have a certain responsibility. We have a certain responsibility. But God will take us the rest of the way when we meet our responsibilities. There are no excuses. There are no excuses. You have not because you ask not. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened. I'm not talking about getting in nice cars and nice homes and things like that. I'm talking about having peace. I'm talking about having joy. I'm talking about having power. In the name of Jesus. A lot of people at Grace Christian Center have forgotten this. There's a great reset coming within this church. Teach your children the ways of God before the world teaches them the ways of Satan. We see what, in American society, what's happening with the public schools. We see what's happening. It's heartbreaking. We have a K through 12 school here, Christian private school, very affordable. Anyone can afford to send their kids here. The public school is a mess. Why? Because Satan is ruling that those hallways. They're killing each other in the schools. They have been since 1997. Students have been killing each other, raping each other. School teachers having sexual relations with their students. It's ridiculous. It's evil. It's perverted. It's demonic. Why? Because they told God many years ago in this nation, get out of the public schools. And God says, you reap what you sow. God honors free will. If you don't want God, then that's what, now you see the results. In 1962, they removed Christian prayer from the public schoolhouse. In 1973, America legalized abortion. And so now you see the results. It's taken time, but look at the results now. Our society has gone so far, far away. And you think this is evil. If the Lord tarries and doesn't come in another 20, 30 years, think how much more evil it will be then. Christians are being persecuted all over the world. In North Korea, there was several years ago, the story just came out here recently, that a family was caught with a Bible. And they put them in prison for life, and they had a two-year-old, and they also sentenced the two-year-old to life in prison. True story. In many nations, due to Google search, look how many nations today where the Bible is illegal. If you're caught with the Bible, you're put into life camps, concentration camps, prisons for life, many, many years. But in America, you take this, we're too busy with our air-conditioned life. But that type of persecution towards the Christian faith is coming to America. And it starts gradually. It starts from the schoolhouse into the universities. But it also began first before there. It began in the church. It rendered the church powerless. The church said nothing in the 60s and in the 70s. The church did nothing. And now all of a sudden the church is wanting to play catch up. And the church is wanting to protest and riot. And, oh, we need to pray now. Well, I mean, yes, God can move and do anything, but if you ask me, and this is just my personal opinion, I believe it's too late. Because, let me show you this. When you look at the leaders of a nation, biblically, when Judah, Israel, Babylon, the Medes and the Persians, the Romans, all of them, and when you look in history books, and I'm a history buff, when you look at the leaders, it was always symbolic of the nation at that time, their morality, and also their future. So let's just go into brief future here in America. And when Ronald Reagan came into the White House, there, you know, of course the Democrats hated him, but they respected him because he was a man that did a lot of great things for the nation. Was he a Christian? I have no idea. That's not my point. My point is this. It was symbolic of the nation. The nation prospered under Reagan in the 1980s. I knew I was an 80s kid. I grew up in the 80s. And it prospered because it was symbolic of a man who was truly wanting to do the right thing. And so into the 90s, we had a president, Clinton, and he was such an immoral man. Continually caught in sexual misconduct, adultery. And it was symbolic of the nation at the time because in the 90s, we began to slip tremendously sexually immoral in this nation. And that began. And then when President George W. Bush came into office, he was a wartime president. 9/11 happened in 2001. And all through 2000 to 2008, He was a wartime president. And what happened was is that division began so greatly like never before in the history of the United States of America. And see, that's what war does. War divides. And he is known as the wartime president. And so that's what happened. Because of our president being a wartime president, the wars in Afghanistan, the wars in Iraq, the war on terror, which is still going on, by the way, that was symbolic of the nation. The nation became divisive. And you could go back and look at the YouTube historical videos of from 2001 to 2008, how there were protests against George W. Bush and America for being in Afghanistan and Iraq. The protests that were not just in America, but in France. The protests that they had in Great Britain. The protests that they would have in Germany. All hatred towards George W. Bush and towards the American soldiers. And that caused so much division. And then came in Barack Obama. And he was the president that served for 8 years as well. And what he did is he brought change, because that was the beginning. He said, change is coming. Change is coming. And that's what he did. And in 8 years, he ushered in so much immorality. That is why we have transgenderism being so accepted today. And that's why we see the rise of critical race theory and Black Lives Matter. The hatred towards police, the hatred towards law and order, the hatred towards all these things. And so that is what happened in his presidency. We were already divided, but now we became more racist as a nation than ever before. Follow me. Trump came in for a brief 4 years, and then he's gone. It was just an afterburner of everything that was already in the boiling pot. But now we have Biden in the White House. And last week was one of the greatest abominations that has ever happened in the United States of America, when he was on the White House lawn and he stood before the nation and he looked at the people of the LGBTQ community and he said, these are the greatest Americans. These are the greatest people, the bravest people I've ever known. It was a blow to the American soldier. It was a blow to the people of Christian faith who have been praying for this country. It was a blow to all of America. And right after he said that, a transgender man, a man who now wants to be a woman, went on the White House lawn, stripped the blouse off, and flashed the whole United States on camera. Rose Montoya is their name. It's a man, but says they're a woman. But here's the sad part. The book of 1 John says that the spirit of Antichrist is in the world. Watch. That they were once amongst us, but they've left us and they're in the world. Rose Montoya was raised in a Christian home. Her parents are Bible teachers and missionaries. She was raised in a devout Christian home. I'm not making fun, but God made you a man. But this individual is fulfilling 1 John. They came from the church, but they left the church and went out into the world because they have the spirit of Antichrist, meaning they are against the things of Christ. And so this multiplied times a million times over in the world, this is what is happening. And there are people in the world who are sick mentally, physically, spiritually. And what is the Christian doing today? Struggling with sin. What is a Christian doing today? Backsliding. What is the majority of churches doing today? Taking a bye week off. Having church but every other Sunday or every third Sunday in the month, take a Sunday off because we need to barbecue and we need to hang out with the family. When it used to be a time where we used to come to church because we were to get rejuvenated, to get encouraged in the faith. And now it's so sad because sometimes some people come to church and there's nothing but discouragement because everybody who claims to be a Christian is off doing something else. You've got a calling. You've got an anointing to serve the Lord. But this is always happening. That's always happening. And this is always happening. And it's become excuses, excuses, excuses. And if you don't like what I've got to say, I'm sorry. But look, these men did not make excuses. They got on the top of the roof because their friend needed healing. There's people in this world that need healing. And if you call yourself a Christian and you've been called and you've been anointed and you're just a pew warmer, a bench warmer, I guess you're on your way to heaven. I don't know. But I believe Jesus deserves a lot more than that. I believe Jesus deserves a lot more than what you and I have been given him. Because what he did on that cross, and for us to just wake up in the morning and take our faith for granted, and take our calling and anointing for granted, and not work it out, and not exercise godliness, and not get focused on the Lord before our feet hit the ground, I believe we dishonor him when we do that. And Jesus said, those who put their hand to the plow but look back, they're not fit for the kingdom of God. And if that's you, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. You're fit for hell. So if you call yourself a Christian today, you need to act like it. You need to live like it. Because there were many that Jesus says will be on his left. He'll say, Lord, Lord, didn't we call on your name? Didn't we pray? Didn't we do this? And Jesus will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. We either have people who are willing to get on the roof or we have workers of iniquity. Jesus heals during the church services. Today's generation frowns upon church services. Well, I don't like going to church because they wear a tie. Well, I don't like going to church because we all have to sit there and we're bored. But yet, you'll go to the Lord of the Rings, see a movie, see the Lord of the Rings for 3.5 hours. The Marvel comics and all these other crazy movies, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, all these evil movies that have been coming out. So many Christians go see those evil movies now. Blood and demonic and The Exorcist and The Pope and The Pope's Exorcist. That's a big movie that came out with Russell Crowe. And I saw how so many Christians ran after that. The story, the scary movie called Megan. And so many Christians went to go see that movie. But yet, sitting in the house of God for an hour, oh my God, I can't do that. Because you're entertained by sin. You're entertained by sin and you deserve hell. You deserve hellfire. Repent of your sins. Look, there are some preachers that are barely hanging on. And they're not going to let go. That's why God says, I will wipe away every tear in heaven. Because there are going to be many believers. They made it into heaven. And what held them on was the tears. They believed with all their heart, but most of them were alone. They only had two or three faithful with them. While all the confessing Christians were off doing their own thing, busy doing their own thing. When the book of Acts says that they were all together, united in the faith, and they shared it with one another, everything. But yet, hey, we you don't see that in the churches anymore. They want to take a week off. They want to take a Sunday off. And that's why we reap what we sow. Mark 2:14-17 says this, as he walked along, Jesus saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at a tax collector's booth, and Jesus said, follow me and be my disciple. And Jesus said to him, yeah? So Levi got up and followed him. Later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. There were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. But when the teachers of religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked Jesus' disciples, why does he eat with such scum? And when Jesus heard this, he told them, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Jesus has come to call sinners. And if we're about in Jesus, if we're in the work of Jesus Christ, then we are about looking for the sinners. I'm always saying, Lord, lead me. We came across an individual in Dallas here the other day. And the lady began to talk to us. She looked at my wife and I, and she said, y'all look so happy. are y'all a couple? And we looked at each other like, yeah, we're a couple. And she's like, y'all look, there's just something different about you. Right, Anna? Yeah, I'll give you the credit. Yeah. And she said, y'all, there's something different about y'all. Y'all look so happy. I don't know, what it is it about you guys? And I said, well, it's Jesus. She goes, oh, how long have y'all been married? I said, we're going, this year will be 30 years we've been married. And she says, oh, wow, that's a blessing. And we're like, well, yeah, I mean, it's been up and down, you know, throughout the years. There's good times and bad times, but you know what? Jesus sees it through. And we start to talk to her and for maybe 30, 40 minutes talking to her in her shop. And she came to a point, it came to a point where she says, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, but I'm not a sinner. I'm okay with what I'm doing. You know, I believe that there are, you know, you have to get a little bit from this faith and that religion and that religion and that religion, and that'll help you, you know, through getting everyone's opinions and wisdom to be able to find what God has for you. And we realized who we were talking to. A religious Pharisee. Someone who thinks they're right with God, but they're not. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and we can only make it right with God through Jesus Christ. And there are a lot of people like that. But you see, Alphaeus, or Matthew, Levi, who is also known as Matthew, was a tax collector. And he was tired of being in sin. He was tired of cheating people. That's what tax collectors did. They cheated people. They robbed people. They stole from them. They charged them more than what was due to the Roman government. And they made a profit. They were corrupt. They were greedy people. And Matthew's sitting in his tax booth, and Jesus says, hey, Matthew, Levi, come follow me. He up and left his business, his job, to follow Jesus. Now, I'm not saying you need to quit your job. Amen? But what I am saying is, leave this worldly wisdom behind. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but give to Jesus what belongs to Jesus. Count the cost. Every general who goes to war counts the cost before they begin to shoot. Count the cost. It will cost you everything to follow Jesus. And it will cost you everything to follow Satan. Count the cost. America has fallen. Joe Biden made fun of the other day because he fell down. And he's fallen down several times, more than any president, I believe, on camera. He's fallen down. Oh, they help him back up. He came off the helicopter, hit his head on the top of the helicopter thing. He's always bumping himself and he's always falling down. It's symbolic of the nation. We have fallen. And if a war was to happen, and it is coming, we are on the verge of a great world war like the world has never seen. I love America. We have veterans here. My dad is a veteran. I love the United States of America. I pray for this nation all the time. I pray for our leaders all the time, regardless of what party they're with. I love this nation. Every time I hear the Star Spangled Banner, there's a rip in my heart. Because the nation I grew up with is not the nation that exists today. We spoke about this heavily on Friday night. I love this nation. I thank God for being an American citizen, to be born here in Texas, more importantly. But I am a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know, because I too have heard from the Lord, America, if there is a war, we will lose. Because the generations today are not built for war. They're built for video games. They're built to be entertained by sin. When World War II happened, that was known as the greatest generation in America. My grandfather, born in 1912, as a little boy, he told me what America did when Pearl Harbor was attacked. My grandfather told me what happened during the Great Depression in the 1930s. He says that these were hard people, that these Americans, they were tough. They believed in God, They were not perfect, but they believed in God. They would travel from town to town, city to city, just to get a job to work, to send money home to their family. And when they were thrust into a war, he said that the draft board offices were lined up with young men, old men, ready to fight, ready to serve. That the women, they left their homes and they went into the factories to work. As a nation, they overcame in World War II. And it's sad because many people on both sides were lost, and it broke God's heart. The nuclear, the atomic bombs that dropped on Japan was devastating and heartbreaking. And some of those people are alive and still suffer the physical consequences and the spiritual scars today. War is horrible. War is horrible on both sides of the nations. But we live in a sin-fallen world. And Jesus said that these wars would come, and we are on the verge of a great war. And I believe that the nation as we are today, we will not sustain. We are going to fall. I say this with a broken heart because I love America. Even though America is guilty of sin, I still love this nation. You're not going to find no one more patriotic than me in this nation. But America has sinned. And America has fallen. And the Christians need to get on the roof. And for anybody in Grace Christian Center, in this ministry team, if they're not willing to get on the roof, get off the roof. Let someone else get on the roof so we can dig holes. Because Jesus deserves our very best. Amen. Give God praise.